Our most gracious Heavenly Father, God, you are holy and there is no one like you. And Father, again, we are in great gratitude and thankfulness this morning that you have allowed us to become children of God, not by our choice, but by your choice. Father, that you took us out of the Murray clay and you put us on the solid rock that we might be able to stand for truth and righteousness, Father, in our lives and walk in a way, in a manner, Father, that they see our good works and they glorify you. Father, you see it's all about you. And Father, may we learn something this morning to help us to live in these end times that you tell us are going to happen and everything that you have said is coming true. And Father, we need to remain who we are. We still need to be a light in this world. And Father, it's becoming more difficult and we need more of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and ourselves to do this. For it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Okay, Dale, if you can play that.
Instead of answering questions and they meow. And so now we are seeing kids that are identifying as animals going to school. And they are purring instead of answering questions, and they meow. And the teachers are not allowed to question it because it's considered a queer identity.
So you have kids that are going to school, and they're saying, I'm a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers have to affirm them as a cat.
Yes. So it's not just the young.
Schools are like literal zoos now, basically.
They are.
I am a 27-year-old transgender woman. I am a wolf therian and a member of the furry fandom.
When and how did you discover this inner wolfness?
Probably around age 10 or 11. I was watching an anime about wolves and see the wolf running across the screen, and I'm somehow just intrinsically like, oh, that's me.
And have you spent any time around biological wolves?
Yeah.
Okay, so we see this, and is this propaganda? If you do some research with this, of course, we hear from everyone except, you know, the teachers and the principals and things where this is happening. We hear from politicians. We hear from people that are trying to persuade us. They have made this a very political issue, in case you didn't know. The reason we do these things is to sidetrack us on what's really going on. It's not to pick on these folks that, again, it is true, it's called furries, these people that identify themselves as cats and they act like cats. And then if you notice, the transgender woman went one step further and they feel like that they were reincarnated into a human body, but they are still an animal in spirit. And so this is the reality of the depravity of the human mind and the human heart. But again, what our world is using this is propaganda. You have the Republicans that are actually coming out here and putting this out there to get you to believe that, you know, we have litter boxes in classrooms and that these cats are allowed to disturb. And again, there's many articles. Then you have the Democratic side that is trying to downplay this, and they're saying that this is not true. This is all just propaganda to get everyone to believe that because of the Democratic leadership, we're allowing everything to take place. So where is truth? How do you know what's true in this situation? If you think for one moment that there's salvation in the Republican Party, or if you think there's salvation in the Democratic Party, you have already been deceived thoroughly. There's only salvation in one, and that's in Christ Jesus. There is only one truth, and there's one truth in Christ Jesus, God alone. And it's very difficult in our world as children of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know how to handle these things, and we need to know how to handle these things. We're not to focus on the fact that they're furries. We're not to focus on the fact that we're aborting babies. We're not supposed to focus on the fact whether you're homosexual, transgender, all of that things. That is not the focal point. The focal point is what I just read, that we were born dead in our trespasses of sin. We have got the message all mixed up. The church has become very confused on what their role is in today. We have become a political pawn for the Republican Party. So we vote, was it Tuesday, I guess? Yeah, we vote Tuesday. And of course, everybody says, oh, go vote, because the abortion's on the ballot. Okay, let's say we win that. So what? What have you accomplished? Exactly what have you accomplished? Have you saved any babies at all? Absolutely not. They'll go to a state where they can abort. The point is, you haven't changed the heart of man. And until you change the heart of man, you have not won a battle at all. And so we have become so political as a church and as churches, and we're using Jesus Christ as our battle flag. He was never meant to be a battle flag for a Republican Party. He doesn't take sides. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. See, we have divided everything in our world. We've got Democrat, we've got Republicans, we've got Baptists, we've got Methodists, we've got Pentecostals, we've got Catholics. We've got people that are for UK. We got in the same state, we got people that are for Louisville. And people hate you because you might be for something other than they are for. We hate because someone goes to a Baptist church. We hate because someone is a Democrat or Republican. None of that is biblical. You didn't start out as a UK fan. We weren't all born UK fans. Okay? But we all were born children of wrath. We're going to stop this division, you see. The division has to stop. Because Jesus Christ himself said that where there's division, the kingdom will soon fall, or the house will soon fall. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ must be unified. It must come together, and we must stop being used as pawns, because voting in a law or not a law does not change the nature of man, and their wrath is still going to be put upon them by God. The church needs to now focus on what its purpose was, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and why you need to be born again. But you see, if you're not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Period. You do not get to decide whether you're born again or not, but God will tell you whether you're born again or not. And if his spirit does not bear witness with your spirit, you're not a child of God, you are not born again, and you're going to die and go to hell. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what experience you've had. I don't care what emotion you've got. That's not what the scripture teaches. As we continue in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we're going to begin in verse 11. It says, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed by the flesh of human hands. So, that's talking about me and you. We're the uncircumcision. We're the Gentiles. You see, the problem that they had back in this time, because they were God's chosen instrument, they thought they were God's children. Very confused. Matter of fact, even today, a lot of people believe that everyone is God's children. And that's not true. Everyone is God's creation. But only if you're born by the Spirit of God are you his child. So, again, to put a stop to that rumor, in basing that on Scripture totally. So, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. Here's the state that we're born in. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, Jesus came to save the nation of Israel. That's why Jesus was sent. He didn't come to save me and you. He came to save God's chosen people. It was God's plan that the salvation would extend to all of us. See, it was God that did that. Okay? That was God's ultimate plan. Okay? That's why Paul was made a minister to the Gentiles, so he could bring the good news. But the Jewish people had a problem with what God wanted. Isn't it amazing how we have a problem with what God really wants? That we say, we sing those songs that we'll follow him wherever he leads. Oh, you're number one in our life. Boy, we'll do, you know, just like Peter, you know, and all the apostles. We'll die for you, Jesus. Man, we're ready. That's where we're at in our life. We're going to die for you. And then what happened? They scattered like a bunch of wimps. Because God said, you know, you're going to deny me three times. When it comes to the truth of who you are, that's how you're tested, right? And there's no other time in this world that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is being tested. Please do not get on that bandwagon of the politics. Please do not argue abortion. Please do not argue homosexuality. Please do not argue the furries. That's all the depravity of man. But when it comes that God brings someone your way that's seeking, then in love, share with them what I just shared, that we're all born in the dead, the trespasses of our sin, that by nature we're children of wrath, and therefore that's why we do what we do. See, don't attack anyone for where they're at. That's why I read here that don't forget where you came from, because you need to have the compassion and the love more than any time of our world. That we need to have compassion and love is for these folks that are trapped into something they can't do anything about. Just like you couldn't do anything about your sin. Just like you couldn't do anything about your entrapment and how it put you in prison and wouldn't allow you to do what was right. See, those people find themselves in that same situation, and God made us the light to the world, not the convictor of the world. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a great Sunday school lesson, and now the Holy Spirit is the only one that has the right to convict us. No one else has a right to convict us. The Word of God convicts us. The Word of God tells us what is right and what is wrong. You see, what we do is kind of like this college girl that wrote a letter to her father. And she said, "Dear Dad, I just want you to know that I've given up my full ride scholarship. I met a boy and we're moving to Germany. I was in a drug rehab last week. I got overdosed, but I'm okay now, Dad. Oh, by the way, Dad, you're going to be a grandfather. Oh, Dad, I'm just kidding. I got a D on my test." The whole purpose of her writing that letter was so that the D would take a less emphasis to what could be really going on. You see, that's what we're doing with sin in this world. That's what we're doing with God in our relationship with God. We're not telling it like it really is, and that D is still as critically important as all those things that she described. See, we don't look at one thing that's worse and say, wow, then this isn't so bad. But see, that's what we do. Instead of reading God's word for what it says and then applying it to ourselves first, if you don't apply it to yourself first, you're no good to anybody else. Listen to me, this was not written for everybody else, it was written for you. And then, like I said in Sunday school, when you get the log out of your eye, then you'll be ready to be used by God, because you'll have the compassion and the love for others, knowing what they're going through. You see, what politics does and all this division does, it puts us at odds of one another. And he says, it's not about, your battle's not between flesh and blood. It's against prince and principalities. It's against the prince of this world. Satan himself, who is going around deceiving and looking for someone he might devour. Sad enough to say that he's devouring the church. And I put that in parentheses of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've got a lot of people calling on the name of God and saying that they're God's children, and yet they live like the world, and that's impossible. As we read in 1 John this month, it's impossible. Had a conversation in the exam room again this week with a lady that was talking about all this stuff, and then I brought up, you know, what I've just told you guys, and I said, if you're not reading the Word of God, you can't know any truth about God. She says, well, I don't read my Bible, but, you know, I believe in God. I said, you used to believe in other things in life that didn't make it true. I said, if you don't read, you can't hear. If you can't hear, you can't have faith. And if you don't have faith, then you can't receive the Holy Spirit. And she said, well, I really need to read, don't I? I said, yes, and then you've got to be careful what you read. You've got to be careful which translation you get. Throw the Living Bible away. Throw a lot of these translations you've got away, because they're changing it. And it's significant changes. But it gets you a New American Standard, and you begin to read with an open heart. And you begin to read and say, God, show me who you are. And showing me who you are, you show me who I am. And said, and what will happen is you'll begin to hear God speak to you as you read. And as you begin to hear, then you will begin to gain faith to apply what you hear to the point there that one day, like the wind, salvation will come to you. You won't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's been, but you'll know that it's there. And that's how Jesus Christ described it. It's amazing that you get to share that with folks. I went to the exam room to take care of her cat. I didn't go in the exam room to share Christ. God brings folks your way. You have to be ready in season and out of season to why you have hope. Don't do the political discussions. If you have the opportunity, change it to the real reason why Jesus Christ came, and that was to abolish sin. All sin. And to God, all sin is sin, and we don't categorize sin. It's sin or it's not sin. You're sinning or you're not sinning. It's that easy. It's that simple. He goes on to say in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's the only way. If Christ had not gone to the cross, we'd still be in this world, left without God, without any hope. If it wasn't for God allowing Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for all mankind, we would still be hopefully, helplessly lost. He says, for in verse 14, he says, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups, listen to this, please listen to this. There are be no divisions. There are no divisions with God, except you either a child of God or you're a child of the devil, and that is the only division that exists. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one. He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is a law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. You see, Jesus fulfilled the law. But after Jesus came, a lot of the law changed. Because I'm no longer judged by the law, but I'm judged by grace and judged by mercy. So by doing that, he abolished the Jewish people from having to live by that ridiculous law. Even Hebrews says how inefficient and how worthless the law was, because it could not save mankind. You see, if you have a bunch of laws that don't do any good, And plus, we've already proven that man doesn't follow laws. Some of y'all don't follow laws. Some of y'all speed all the time and love it all the time and don't pay attention to the speed sign because everybody else is doing it, so it makes it right. Coming through from Alabama, I did. I was scared for my life. Instead of just trusting God, I went faster so I wouldn't get run over. But that doesn't make it right. I still didn't obey the law. And I still knew it. Because the Holy Spirit said, law's 55, you're going 56. See, that's how absolute God is. God didn't say, when you stand before him, well, you almost got saved. I got a special place over here for you guys that almost got saved. That'd be purgatory, which doesn't exist. God doesn't work that way. God is very absolute in his righteousness and his holiness and what and how he applies that to us. But he brought both of us together into one group. He made us all children of God. Now again, we can have by being children of God, see, then we can have our different likes and dislikes. You don't have to like UK. You don't have to like the coach. You don't have to, and then I'm not going to hate you if you don't. I'm not going to play golf with you if you don't. You know, I mean, if you don't see it all my way, I'm still going to be able to associate with you. That's what the, if we're bound together by the Holy Spirit in the love of God, then it allows us to each have our differences, but not difference according to the Word of God. See, we have to separate that out. The Methodist Church is going through a major disturbance right now over this homosexuality thing. And they don't have pastors that stand up and says, homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of God. It's written in there. They're lying to these people to make them feel good. They're taking and they're oversimplifying the love of God. They're blowing the love of God out of proportion in relation to who he's holy. He's a holy God. And therefore, he cannot associate in any form or fashion or condone sin. There is no sin in him. No darkness in him. But yet, when we don't give truth, just like this fur baby thing, I don't know what's true. I don't know if there's litter boxes in there. I don't know how many of these kids are out there. But they are out there. And they are deceived, and they are confused because they have no absolutes in their life, and we take the absolutes out of life, then we have nothing. God loved us enough to give us absolutes and how we relate to one another, but more importantly, how we relate to him. And we must relate to him in righteousness, holiness, without sin. He goes on to say in verse 15, abolishing his flesh, the enmity which is the law, commandment contained in ordinance, so that he himself might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. There is no other way. The Muslims won't get there. The Baptists won't get there. The Methodists aren't going to get there. The Catholics aren't going to get there. The Hindus aren't going to get there. Jehovah's Witnesses are not going to get there. None of these denominations are going to make it. They're all going to stand before God. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Not one of them is going to make it. Not one. It's only going to be through the Spirit of the living God. We can't have all of those divisions. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible according to the Word of God. We ought to take Baptists off of our sign. Boy, wouldn't that make some of them roll over? But that's the truth of God. Baptists should not be on our sign, because that's a doctrine of man, not of the Holy Spirit. I guess I'll get fired after today. That's okay. So then you're no longer strangers. See, we're no longer strangers. We're no longer aliens. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. See, they're the ones that passed this down. They're the ones that God used to write what happened in the Word, so that we would know truth. But man comes along and decides to change it. We're going to redefine God's love. God's love is so that you don't suffer wrath, not that so that we get along with each other. You got to understand what God's love is. He loved you so you wouldn't perish, not so that you could still live in sin. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing up into a holy temple in the Lord. So if the Holy Spirit resides in me and I was bought with a price and I'm not my own, then how can I have all these different divisions? How can the Holy Spirit be teaching one group this and one group that and one group this and one group that? How would God, who's supposed to be only one God, teach the Hindus that it's okay, to teach the Muslims this one, and teach the Jehovah Witness this thing, and the Mormons another thing? See, this isn't a smorgasbord. This isn't a buffet of life where you get to go choose which religion you like and find your way to God. It's only going to be through His written Word, through one Spirit, one God, one faith, through Jesus Christ. Period. No further discussion needed, because thus saith the Lord. See, it's about time that the church gets back to thus saith the Lord. Please don't get caught up in all this Democratic and Republican crap. And I'm sorry I said that word, but I'm tell you what, that's how mad I am about it. That seems to control our whole focus instead of what we're supposed to be. And that's a light to these people that are deceived. Instead, we want to argue with them. We want to try to convince them that they're wrong. And if they're not convicted by the Holy Spirit of the sin in their life, then it doesn't do us any good to convince them in their mind that they're wrong. And you spend so much time and so much wasted effort. Why don't you spend more time on your knees praying for those folks? That God would give you the opportunity, but more than that, that God would give you the strength to be who you're to be and act how you're supposed to act and walk how you're supposed to act, so that when He works in their life, they know the true light to go to. Right now, they don't know where to go. We've abolished all law. We've abolished all authority in our world. It changes from one month to another, from one decade to another. And no one knows what's right anymore. Have a conversation with another gentleman this week, telling me how God just did work in his life, and God worked in his life, and then has a cuss word, and how God worked in his life, and God worked in his life, and another cuss word. Talked to him yesterday again on the phone, and another cuss word, and another cuss word. And I'm like, and the Holy Spirit didn't prompt me to ask him, but what I wanted to ask him was, how do you use cuss words so freely in your life? I can see maybe if you hit your finger and your hammer and that's still in you, it'll come out. That's why sometimes God allows you to get hurt, so you can see what's in you. See, when I get bit by a dog, I say, ouch. Okay? I say, ouch, when Terry makes me mad, I might get so mad that I might say something I shouldn't say. That has happened in my life, not so much anymore. Because God's growing me out of that, because I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that language. I love it when they say, oh, pardon my French. No, that's not French. Okay? Como ça va? Très bien, merci, madame Martin. J'arrive. That's French. Okay? I know French, and that is not French. But yet, children of God use cussing, and the Bible says, do not let that come from your mouth. That is not how we speak. But it's amazing how people, see, we got to stop letting people call themselves children of God and continue to walk as the world. They need to hear that from their preachers and their teachers, that that's not how we are to act. That's not how we are to be. But how they can be a part of their normal vocabulary and there's no correction of the Holy Spirit and it doesn't bother them to the point that they get on their knees and ask God to take this and remove this from me, because they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and therefore they're going to stand before God and he's going to say, depart from me. And they'll be cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that breaks